B-Pod Studios.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
If I think five or the last eight. So I think they're in a good position. My thing is, we're not talking about growth. Growth since we got rid of Wright, our offense has been bad. I mean, like you said, we got not only drop passes, but there's a lot of things bickering going on inside the clubhouse. There's nobody stepping up. That issue got to get fixed for the Eagles to even contend. Because right now we got problems inside that room that, you know, it's been out, but nobody's saying nothing about it. So that's another issue we have.
Well, supposedly they're burying all that, but I'm done with the drama. We got a bad connection, but I think we're done with the drama. I think there's something that needs to happen in that locker room where somebody needs to take charge and get everybody else's attention. Because a guy like Nelson Agholor does not seem focused on the task at hand. Mac Collins, J.J. Arcega-Whiteside, they do not seem focused on the task at hand. You need some help from your wide receivers here. And as much as typically in an offense, as we said earlier, you can just look at the quarterback and go, well, he's got to be better and elevate everybody else's play. When you see the way Nelson Agholor goes up, or lack thereof, doesn't go up for a ball that's for him, you're going, do you want to make this play? Mm-hmm. And there's been two things, two different people have said this, and it's been scary. One is Seth Joyner, the other is Barrett Brooks. Nelson Agholor is running routes where he doesn't want to necessarily make the play. He's running the route, but at the end of it, when he looks up, he's like, wants no part of it. And Trey, you've alluded to this as well.
Yeah.
What is that about? Like, what? I understand that it's a well-paid gig, but don't you want to make the play if you're a competitor?
I think he's and that's the thing. If you're a competitor, you know, you can sit in there and put on that uniform, but you got to really want to go get after it, because you can go out there and just run around and, you know, make it look like you're trying to get it done, but when you go back and you really look at it, it's like, wow, all right, you were just running this route just to run the route. You didn't run the route with purpose to even look like you wanted to get the ball. Mm-hmm. So I think that's some of that could be happening out there. You can see it even times when the ball is there, he's thinking, you know what, I don't even want to try to go get this play because I don't want to have drops.
Yeah.
You know, so you can see that a little bit at times as well. So it's just tough when you have guys that are out there and you think, okay, you know what, are you going to be a competitor or not? And that's the problem. Because everybody be like, well, hey, why doesn't Carson just go and jump down their throat and start, you know, kicking ass and taking names? That sounds good, but, you know, what are you going to do? Because you need these guys to want to step up and make plays for you. I mean, he can sit in there and rant and rave all he wants, but if they don't want to go out there and respond to it, then what?
Yeah. And the other part of it is, how do we know he hasn't done that?
Mm-hmm.
And part of it is, I don't think that's within his makeup for Carson to grab someone and get in their face and try to get the best out of him in that way. I don't know if that's part of his, you know, accoutrement.
And also, too, you got to think now, he's, what, the younger player in this
Carson?
Equation?
Yeah.
Because what's this, his third or fourth year?
Fourth year. Yeah.
Fourth year. So, I mean, he, you know, he's still getting himself together as well. I know that, you know, he's a leader, but he's not a 10-year guy talking to a 3-4-year guy.
Right.
That means he's stepping up to the older guy and like, look, man, I need you to tighten up.
And think of the optics surrounding it. So that story comes out last year about him maybe not getting along with everybody. He's in a shell. He's always in the film room or whatever. So what does Carson do? You see him hosting Thanksgiving. You see him taking guys out. You see, so he's conscious of it. So is it to the point of consciousness of, man, I can't yell at this guy because they already don't really like me. And I'm not making fun of it. I'm being honest. You know, everything is human nature. As robotic as we want to make these players go out and play, catch these passes, there is a human nature aspect to it. Carson Wentz appears to want to be liked by his teammates. That doesn't, yelling at a receiver in front of 70,000 people and millions on TV, probably doesn't lend to him being liked in his perception by said receiver.
Good, embrace it.
I hear you on that. And maybe it's a character flaw, whatever.
I don't care if he's liked.
In that.
I need him getting the best out of every single person
do.
He's throwing the football.
Okay, but
well,
maybe
I think
Carson
all
Wentz.
Eagles fans do. I don't care, Carson. I mean, you know what I mean? Like,
no,
I understand what you're saying.
Yeah, okay.
But, like, I don't care about that.
Let's put it this way. Do you want to go on the rotation, the wide receiver rotation of the NFL, where you're one of these, you're Jordan Matthews, getting recycled around the league pretty much? Carson Wentz, look, and I hate when people do this, but if you go to money... 107.9 million. That's how much this franchise thinks I'm worth.
Yeah.
How about you, bucko?
Yeah.
What are you worth? All right.
Yeah.
You want to stick around here? You want to win here? This is how we're going to do it. Like,
and
Carson Wentz has every right to say, we're going to win here, and we're going to win my way.
I totally agree.
Stories be damned.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I just wonder of the optics of it. Like, is part of him wanting to be
Probably.
Liked so much that he can't take that step that you guys have all talked about of, yo, dude, you know, get your ass together and let's go.
You're running the wrong route there, Mac.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe step into the medical tent.
But again, I hate to say it, my head went here.
What?
It went to Orlando Scandrick again yesterday.
Why do you keep thinking of Orlando Scandrick?
Because he planted stuff in my head that I believe to be true anyway.
But it is true.
I mean, he said, look, you know, Dak Prescott after practice, if something's not going right, he stays behind with these guys and he works on it. He goes, well, why hasn't Carson been doing that this year? Mm. He basically straight up called him out for not putting in extra work with his receivers after practice.
Maybe because the receivers don't want to and Carson doesn't want to make
them. Well, then it's a problem all around.
I don't disagree.
Carson's going to be here.
I don't disagree. And I had originally said, well, wait a minute. I've seen Carson take guys after practice. That was in training camp. I haven't seen it too much during the regular season. So,
yeah, Orlando Scandrick said it.
Because during the regular season, everybody's a little banged up. But still, yeah. I mean, when you're running routes on air, I mean, you should be able to get that work in.
Mm-hmm.
You should be able to get that work in, especially right now when you're like, all right, man, hey, man, look, I need to be able to look on the other side of the ball. I can't sit up here and focus all my attention over here, and you're running over here with a man on, and you might be beating a DB, but I can't take the chance because, I don't know what you're going to give me.
And to equate it to basketball, what you want to do defensively is cut the court in half. You want to force a team to one side of the floor, and that way you're only covering that side of the floor. You want to keep it there. You want to make the flow of the offense stay there, so that's all you're covering. The Eagles are doing that to themselves.
Mm.
They're saying to defenses, we're only going to be on this side of the field because we don't look over there.
Yeah, I've heard people didn't like playing with Peyton Manning because he would keep practice an extra half hour, 40 minutes, so that everything was perfect.
Mm.
Like, I hate that that's what it's kind of got to be at this point, but like, this offense is so sloppy. Yeah, there needs to be more accountability, mm-hmm. whether it's coaches, whether it's Carson, whether it's themselves. Something's got to change.
Go ahead.
And I get it. You know, as a player, you're like, man, come on, man.
Well, yeah, we just finished.
I mean, come on, man. Because Juan used to be notorious for that. And at the time, you'd be like, man. But you knew that it was getting you better.
Yeah.
And when you're out of the game and you go back and you look at that time, it's like, dang, man, that was what you needed as a player to get to where you wanted to be.
Like, Reggie Wayne probably is a great receiver no matter who he's with. Mm. But putting in all that extra work with Peyton Manning throughout those years took him to a Hall of Fame level.
Absolutely. 610-632-0975, 610-632-0975, 7 o'clock hour brought to you by Univest Bank. Are you frustrated by escalating HR costs and legislative compliance? There's a simple solution. It's time for Univest Employee Benefits. Visit univest.net to set up your free benefits analysis today. And you are listening to 97.5 The Fanatic, WPN, Burlington, Philadelphia, broadcasting from the Xfinity Studio only from Comcast. I would like to see more of that field general type of attitude from Carson Wentz. If he is playing the I hope everybody likes me card, then that's a bad thing. That is a negative thing.
You can't be that.
But it is an interesting case of here in Philadelphia going on right now between Carson, going on between the wide receivers, and then also going on right now with the 76ers, who are back at it tonight against the Utah Jazz. They're in Utah. Joel Embiid comes back. We're all really excited about that. Al Horford, did you say rocking chair, Jamie? Sure, the little rocking chair for the man, for Unk, for good old Unk, which is a nickname I hate, by the way. I don't call anyone in my family Unk.
No, I've never used Unk.
One of my friends, his nieces and nephews call him Unk.
So Unk, you would expect, probably still back in the lineup tonight, plays again, Bob, you're thinking?
I think so, because...
You call your uncle's Unk?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
First time I ever heard it was in Creed. The movie Creed.
Yeah.
Ah.
Yeah, the movie Creed.
Yes.
Okay. Good movie.
Mm. That phenomenal picture.
Phenomenal
picture. Yeah, I really enjoyed it.
But I was so frustrated. You've seen a lot of movies.
He's so proud of himself when he's seen a movie.
I called Jamie when I watched a movie this week. I'm like, dude, I watched the movie. He's like, yeah, all right, later.
What did you watch, Bob?
This weekend was Rocket Man.
Said it was very enjoyable.
I liked him.
The Elton John biopic.
Yeah, Elton John.
I'll watch that.
He makes.
I tried to get him to watch A Star Is Born. but he said it was a chick flick, and I said, how dare you? No, it's not. It's a good movie.
No, well, you sent me a text saying, watch A Star Is Born with a crying face, so I was like, yeah, I'm out.
It might bring a tear to your eye.
There's one scene that's like Field of Dreams.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, there's one scene that every...
Field of Dreams.
That's a good movie. Every man's going to cry at that one scene, mm-hmm. at least well up a little bit.
Yeah.
It's got nothing to do with that, the Lady Gaga lady. You know, it's got nothing to do with her. She's not even in it.
You know who else will make you cry? The Eagles wide receivers.
6-1-0-6. Anyway, so the Sixers are back in action.
Yeah. So my theory, getting back to where we were, yes. I think Horford does play tonight. That Denver game Friday night is weird. It's really far from the airport. So when you're done the game, you're growing out to the airport. You're coming home. You don't get in until really early on Saturday morning. They have a game again Sunday night. I think if they're going to rest Horford before they come home, it's going to be the Friday night game and not tonight.
Okay.
Yeah.
Denver airport sucks.
Oh, is that unbelievable?
That's a road trip in itself right there.
It really is. Yeah, it's out in the middle of absolutely nowhere.
It's that airport does suck. I mean, the airport itself is lovely.
Oh, it's beautiful.
The location is dumb.
Yeah.
But anyway, I digress.
They have so much space out there. What are they doing? Who planned that?
I don't know.
I have to look it up, but there's some really weird stories about that airport.
Yeah, it's like a Masonic type thing.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
Freemasons built it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know.
No, but yeah, that's the...
All right.
History Channel has great documentaries on that stuff.
Really?
But anyway, looking at the Sixers tonight, I am watching for one thing and one thing only, and that is Ben Simmons' outside game. And the fact that he's playing Donovan Mitchell tonight, and that little fun rookie rivalry, whatever you want to call it, like that's I always find that enjoyable. But I need to see what Ben Simmons has been working on so hard in the offseason. I need to see that implemented in a game. And I'm not talking about raining threes or anything like that. Be that threat. Every point guard needs spacing, and he's a great point guard. He's not a great scorer. He's not a great shooter. Let him just develop that part of his game, and that's really got to be up to him. When you see a guy like Aaron Baines sacking off him the way he was two nights ago, and he's saying, yeah, go ahead and shoot the ball. Shoot the ball.
Yeah.
Like, let's see that. Let's see the hard work you put into it. Like, Trey, could you imagine working on, a leg kick or anything, hand placement, whatever? I was so hard in the offseason, and they're just like, nah, I'm not going to use it.
Yeah.
Like what? There's a waste of time.
Exactly.
I want to see it implemented in a game, and I want to see that tonight in Utah. I want to see that implemented. I want to see him use it in the game. Now, don't rain the threes. Don't shoot 10 jumpers. If something is there for you to take, take it.
Take it.
And I'm tired of the video.
Utah's a really good defensive team. Quinn Snyder does a really good job with them, so they're going to have something. Maybe they'll just say, look, we'll just have at it. We'll play tough man-to-man in your face. What they do, they foul a lot and all that. But I don't know. It'll be interesting to see how Ben Simmons handles this defense tonight.
Yeah, if you're open, shoot. Like, let's get back to basics.
And I don't think Brett Brown has ever not said that to him.
Yeah, if he's telling Joel Embiid, hey, keep shooting threes, he can tell Ben Simmons, hey, shoot two jumpers.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Ridiculous. 610-632-0975. 610-632-0975. We got Euro John. We got Mike. We got Troy. Open lines after that. 610-632-0975. Coming up, 8 o'clock, we're going to talk to Adam Schefter. And we will talk a little bit about Jordan Matthews coming back. We're continuing the conversation as well as to who is your best and worst so far at the midway point of the season now that the Eagles are in their bye week. Who's the most impressive? Who's the most disappointing? 610-632-0975. Time at the Fanatic is 7:12.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The Fanatic.
My man Lid's telling me on Twitter that unk is mostly a South Philly term.
South Philly?
Evidently. I am speaking of ignorance, but Lid is telling me unk is a South Philly lingo, been around since he was a kid, and they could use it to almost anyone, no age or relation required.
Ah.
Then T-Will tells me a little bit more of a easier explanation. Mm. It's for the brothers.
Yeah, that's exactly.
And I'm like, yeah, okay. Unk is used by the brothers.
Okay. All right. I do call my uncle unk.
Is it a, what do you call it, in the lexicon, not the lexicon, a colloquialism?
I don't know. Not really sure.
I don't know. I don't use it.
Yeah.
It's not of my, what do you call it? It's not of my background, I guess. Like, I haven't grown up using it. I heard it in Creed for the first time, and I went, I don't know that one.
Yeah, I've been calling my Unc for many, many, many moons now.
I do like the nickname for Al Horford, though, as Unc.
Yeah.
It's pretty good.
Yeah.
So Jordan Matthews came in to work out again yesterday. The third stint for the Eagles looks like it's going to happen. We'll have Adam Schefter joining us at 8 o'clock today. He can give us the latest on all that. But Jordan Matthews...
I love you.
Think about it for a second.
You think he ever got rid of like his place of residence? Or he's just like, I'll be back again.
Yeah, I think he did. I think he did.
Just moves right in. Couch is already set up. TV's cable's already connected.
Yeah, I think you're talking about Jordan Matthews?
Yeah.
I think he's in Carson's house.
It's
got a big enough place. Yeah.
It's true.
It would not surprise me.
No.
Think about it for a second. He gets traded away to Buffalo, then goes to the Patriots.
Was that the Darby deal?
I believe so. Yes, it was.
I mean, it's a pretty good deal in hindsight. It was. You got Darby and what was it, Jordan Matthews and a fourth you gave up or fifth?
Yeah, it was one of the deals you look at Howie and go, that's our guy.
Yeah, do more of that.
But it was odd that you traded away one of your quarterback's favorite targets.
Yeah.
So that was weird.
But you assumed they were going to upgrade the position.
Yes, you assumed.
They
brought Alshon Jeffery in, and now he's on one leg.
Yeah.
But let's look at it. So he goes to Buffalo, then the Patriots, then the Eagles, then the 49ers. Cut by the 49ers, then back to the 49ers, then cut by the 49ers, now back to Philadelphia, maybe. And don't forget, somewhere in between all that, he ripped the Eagles' medical staff.
Fun times.
It was the medical staff that was still here before the Super Bowl. Because it would have been 2017's medical staff, or 2016's medical staff.
Okay.
So he came out and he said that he was misdiagnosed by the Eagles' medical staff twice. He had a knee injury, he had an ankle injury, and both times he said that the Eagles told him he don't need surgery. They ended up trading the Buffalo. Buffalo examines him and they're like, you're going to need some surgery. And he ended up getting the surgery. So it is a weird little dynamic, weird career so far for Jordan Matthews, especially for a guy that if you look at his first 3 years in the league with the Eagles, he's pretty damn good.
He was an 800-yard, 60-catch guy.
Yeah, 8 touchdowns, back-to-back years, his first 2 years in the league.
Yeah, he was, it's okay.
And he's only 27.
Yeah.
Like, you feel like he's at least 30, but he's only 27 years old. He comes in for the physical yesterday. DeSean Jackson goes under the knife for the first time in his career, so we might not be seeing him. They IR him, so he can't play for the rest of the regular season. Hopefully they do make the playoffs, and you can see him a little bit later. But as of right now, the most disappointing Eagle in this regard has been Howie Roseman for not filling the void left behind by DeSean Jackson missing all this time. DeSean Jackson's essentially playing in one game for you this year.
Yep.
He's participated in three, but he's really only played in one. It's ridiculous. And you haven't made any adjustment as a front office to try to fill that void at wide receiver. It's awful.
And they seem to be allergic to speed. They really do. I mean, look at the guys that they're drafting. Look at the guys. Nelson Agholor, speed guy, okay, but enough to be a slot guy. He's a slot guy, so he's not that speedy. You went out and got a 32-year-old guy. Look at the people they've put in the speed positions. And then you draft a J.J. Arcega-Whiteside, who appears to be the perfect backup and similar to Alshon Jeffery, who certainly isn't a speedster.
Mm-hmm.
Besides Miles Sanders, it really does look like they're allergic to speed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, my thing with Nelson Agholor is it's not that he can't get to the spot. It's that he gets in a position to make a play but doesn't make the play.
Yeah.
For instance, the overthrow, and it was, look, the ball was a little overthrown to Nelson Agholor in Dallas. All he had to do was turn around, put his arms up, and he can make the catch. Like, he's there to make the play. He didn't make the play. It wouldn't have been some spectacular catch he would have had to make. It's literally just making an adjustment. Same thing on the Prince of Mukamura play on Sunday. All he had to do was turn around. The ball went through his hands. And he didn't want to make the play. That dog that people talk about is not in Nelson Agholor. That we've known for a long time. It's not there. He doesn't want to make the play.
Yeah.
Jordan Matthews at least wants to be on the football field and make a play. Mac Hollins, I don't think, wants to make the play. J.J. Arcega-Whiteside, I don't know what's going on with him. My theory is that he can't stay on the field because he either can't get open or he doesn't know the playbook. I would find it hard to believe, though, week 8, week 9, the guy doesn't know the playbook yet.
I would hope that Mac Hollins would like to make the play.
Like, it's slim pickings out there.
Oh, it's very slim.
Yeah, if you want to make the play, you have an opportunity to make a play. It's not like he's got a lot of other targets out there.
No.
Yeah, it's not like Matt Collins has to jump over people to get to the field to try to make a play.
Right. The opportunity should be there for him.
It should be.
All right, now, I can't believe what I'm seeing here.
Me neither. I had to take a double take.
All right. Mike and KOP.
Whoa. I just saw the subject line, too.
Eagles defending Howie Roseman.
Whoa.
Mike and KOP. What's going on?
Hey, don't go too far.
I just saying what's on our comment board. That's all I'm saying, Mike.
B-Hawk, he called Howie cheap. And Howie's a lot of bad things, but he's not cheap. So let's be realistic with what he is. A horrid drafter, and he's put this team in. He's been too loyal to players and brought them back and given them money they shouldn't have gotten. That's who Howie Roseman is. He's not cheap, though.
I'll say this, Mike. I didn't get the sense he was talking necessarily and only about money. I also got the sense he was talking about draft picks because I had earlier in the show referenced the two number ones and the number four that Jalen Ramsey was traded for. Howie Roseman only went a one and a two.
But that's where Howie was smart. He realized that this team is not going anywhere this year, and you can't waste the future picks on a team that's not worth it. And this team's not worth it. So I give Howie credit on that. That
Mike loves Howie.
Bob, don't even start. This is the one and only time I will come to Howie's aid. He was at least smart enough to do that. But the player that impressed me the most this year is J.J. Arcega-Whiteside because he's fooled an NFL team into using a draft pick to actually draft.
Oh, come on, Michael.
The fact that this guy is on a team is ridiculous. I read his scouting report before his pre-draft scouting report. All it says is he's really strong, and I don't need a strong receiver. I need a fast receiver, and that's our biggest problem. Our receivers and DBs have no speed whatsoever.
All right, so J.J. Nelson, Mike, thanks for the call. Is anyone against reaching out, J.J. Nelson? Hey, what's up?
I've been calling for 4 weeks. Yeah, you have. You've been all over that.
They called Torrey Smith.
Yeah.
No J.J. Nelson. Why not?
He's working out for Tampa Bay. Bruce Arians is an offensive-minded coach.
I don't understand how that works.
I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah, no call from Philadelphia.
I mean, maybe something will happen today.
I think it really does. I don't think it's even a contest. The most disappointing member of this Eagles team has been Howie Roseman.
Yeah.
Front office to players, whatever. The most disappointing has been Howie.
I would even go take the kid Jennings from Seattle. Look, Seattle's shown a history of being able to draft wide receivers over the last 7-8 years, from Doug Baldwin to Tyler Lockett to now DK Metcalf. Uh-huh. If they thought this kid was worthy of a fourth-round pick out of West Virginia, that's good enough for me.
Yeah, but...
And I would say, Mac, bye-bye.
But,
and you're gaining a fourth round... It's essentially a fourth round pick you're inheriting.
Mm-hmm.
And you can get rid of Mac Hollins, which is a failed fourth round pick. So to me, it's a good way to negate a loss on draft capital.
Hey, given what the Eagles have right now at the wide receiver position... Like, somebody tweeted me, Jordy Nelson. And I'm like, 34? So what? Have him out there, see what he can do.
He probably runs a 5.3 at this point in his career.
Yeah, he's got a bad wheel.
Sure hands. Yeah. I don't care.
Still a better option.
So let's give him a shot. You know what? At least you know he wants to be out there. So when you look at a guy like J.J. Nelson, or more importantly, you look at a guy like Gary Jennings, he's a fourth-round pick that hasn't seen the field with Seattle.
Well, what's worse, that or a fourth-round pick that sees the field and doesn't even get looked at?
Yeah, but
I'll take my chance with hope.
But as you just alluded to, Seattle knows how to draft a wide receiver. They know how to get a guy that at least Russell Wilson can integrate into the offense. The fact that he hasn't done that,
but they got Josh Gordon. It's not like they moved on from nothing. Right,
but they just got Josh Gordon.
Yeah, I know.
The
Eagles should have done that.
There was 8 weeks before that you could have seen him out there on the football field, and you haven't.
They felt a need to get Josh Gordon.
Yeah,
I hear what you're saying.
I hear what you're saying, too, but it's still better than Mac Hollins.
It's still better than guys that are tied with Deshaun Jackson in catches for the last 6 weeks. Let's put it that way.
I wonder what Whiteside and Mac Hollins are doing this bye week.
I'd love to know. I as a social media stalker of 97.5 The Fanatic, I will do my finest work.
Is that on your business card?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, I would like for you to see what's going on out there.
I will dive deep.
If they are not in there with that coach right now, and they did that, you should be all right. This is it.
Do we see a social media post from Carson, like in a cabin somewhere, or like up in a tree hunting? him and Mike Trout hanging out?
I don't know.
100%.
Or are we going to see a Carson with Nelson Aguilar and they're at the NovaCare Complex throwing footballs around? Like,
what's... Do you ever watch the Gridiron Heights on Bleacher Report?
No.
What? It's a cartoon series they do week to week for the NFL.
Okay. Yeah, yeah,
okay. And this week is all about Nick Foles and Carson Wentz. And it's pretty funny.
Beautiful. Troy in Philly, what's going on, buddy?
Hey, guys.
Hey, man.
What's going on? Look, I was leaning towards what Trey was saying earlier. You know, it's all about accountability. I mean, I understand that, you know, Carson is young, but that position, it requires you to be a good leader. But I even had to take a step back and say, you know what? All this is on Doug. Because when that year we won the Super Bowl, Doug was aggressive. Doug was, he was like in there in a face, so to speak. I mean, they had tapes where he was telling people, hey, look, get your head out your ass to get in the game. And I think that's what's missing now. It's just that tone. It's just like, hey, look, guys. Exactly. That's what we need. We got to get, and it's lackadaisical. Everything that we're seeing on the field is just a replica of Doug's mindset or his approach to the game.
Yeah, but do you really think he's changed that much in 2 years? You know,
yeah, I do. I think the Super Bowl was just it. I think the cameras that's in there from y'all say not Hard Knocks, but whatever cameras that's in there that's following them this year, I think all that just playing a part, and they just think that they arrived, you know, and I just don't think that they got it this year. Whereas Carson Wentz, like I said, that position right there, yeah, you're a second year or a third year player, and you got hurt last year, and you're trying to make friends. But look, your game will determine your leadership. Okay, if you got to go ahead and tell somebody, you don't have to grab them and holler at them, but you got to let them know, hey, look, what happened right here when you watching films? Okay, I need this. I'm going to throw the ball. I'm not throwing it in your ass, but I need you right there. And if he know what he's doing, when the game time comes or in the film rooms, he can go ahead and let the wide receivers know, hey, look, you need to be there. And then we can tell that it's not happening or he's not doing it because every game in and game out, the same thing is happening.
Right. Troy, thanks for the call, man. I do think there does need to be a lot more accountability, and I think that's been said a lot of times throughout the season, whether that's Doug Peterson, whether that is Carson Wentz. There needs to be accountability. Carson, with this team, as far as he's concerned, could almost be Teflon. Like, dude, they've invested in me as an elite player. I'm the only one they're really investing in on the offensive side of the ball as an elite player in the NFL. Go make the play. Like, the fact that he hasn't, and maybe he's done it behind closed doors, I feel like we would have heard about it by now because everything else leaks out of that locker room. I feel like we would have heard it by now if he did grab Nelson Aguilar and say, dude, get your head in the damn game. Because he does not appear to be a focused wide receiver. And he does appear to be playing very timid, as if he does not want to make that play. And we talked about it earlier. We'll bring it back again. When you hear a guy like Seth Joyner on postgame talk about guys that will run a route, not, you know, to get open, but not necessarily make the play to look good. Barrett Brooks talked about it. He alluded to Jason Avant telling him this the other night. Same type of thing. Guys running routes to look good but not make the play. And Trey, you've talked about it as well. That is a haunting thing. That is a terrifying thing. The fact that you have somebody out there that's not all about winning. And you have every opportunity to try to make a play and just look like you're hustling and they don't do it. That shows a guy that is just terrified to be out there on a football field. And that's when mistakes happen. That's when players get hurt. And that's when mistakes happen. And more importantly, for everything else, that's when you lose games.
What happened in just 2 years, though?
I have no clue.
You know, I mean, this is the same group of guys.
They're older.
Guys. Yeah, they're a little older. So being a little bit more mature, you would think that you understand the work that it takes to be successful and how to get to the dance and also win it.
Mm-hmm.
Why? What's been the drop off?
I don't know. You know, I don't feel like Nelson Aguilar had ever been timid to make a play. I feel like he's timid to make the play now. I feel like he got in his own head 3 years ago. I feel like the Super Bowl year, he seemed like he was playing with the most amount of confidence and he was having the most success. So maybe he just got started off on the right foot. He is a guy that can spiral. And last year, statistically, a very similar year to 2017, the Super Bowl year. This year, he just does not look like the same guy. He looks like he just doesn't want to be out there.
And then, like, I don't want anybody to go, oh, you know what the difference was. It was
false. I know, I hear you.
It doesn't matter to me who's delivering the ball.
Mm-hmm.
What's the lack of production? You're just not catching the ball. I mean, It doesn't matter who's throwing it to you. It's still a right-handed thrower that's giving you the ball. It's not a left-handed thrower. The ball doesn't have a different rotation on it. I mean, you have a quarterback throwing you the ball. I mean, come on.
Like if Russell Wilson's throwing the ball, that all of a sudden Aguilar's going to catch that in Atlanta? Like, give me a break.
Yeah. No, here's the thing. We've talked about Tom Brady. He's worked with a million different receivers and had success with a million different receivers. Yeah. Now you have a guy in Nelson Aguilar. If you put him on the Patriots, would he all of a sudden be like a Pro Bowl wide receiver?
Absolutely not, Mark.
No, he wouldn't. You know why? Because he doesn't want to make the play. Simple as that.
Yeah, as maybe, Todd said, there's no dog in
you know what? Exactly. Maybe he would be terrified of Bill Belichick and Tom Brady. Maybe he would make that play.
Maybe. And you know.
Well, there's an intimidation factor there because they don't. Listen, either you make the play or you're gone.
Intimidation or accountability?
I think it's
intimidation by accountability.
Right.
Yeah.
Because
if you don't catch that ball, you gone.
Yeah,
and
right.
Trey, you bring up a great point. Like, what happened? I mean, let's think back to 17. Look at the plays that they made. I mean, look at the plays that Carson made in Seattle, even though they lost that game. Out on the run, throwing deep. Look at the playoffs where you ran Zach Ertz in an out and up. We haven't seen that in forever. Right. You ran a flea flicker for a touchdown. You hit a running back on a 30-yard fly pattern for a touchdown. You had a receiver make a play in Alshon Jeffrey, catching the ball in the end zone, jumping over people. You're right, Trey. What happened? Mm-hmm. Well, like, where is that? Now it's just this sit-down offense.
Well, you know what?
Why has it changed so drastically?
It's been something I've been yelling about for a year and a half. What was here in 2017 that's no longer here?
Yep.
Oh, Frank Reich.
Frank Reich and John DeFilippo.
Yeah. It's amazing, though.
So, but then, if it's John DeFilippo...
It's the only constant, and it keeps reemerging.
But if it's John DeFilippo, then you're talking about a problem Carson Wentz has.
Yeah, but John DeFilippo may have worked on the relationship with quarterback and wide receiver. We don't know. Nelson Aguilar thrived that year.
I wouldn't go John DeFilippo. I mean, Frank Reich, I think, most importantly.
So Frank was working with the wide receivers and Carson better than whatever the hell Mike Groh is doing.
Well, I don't know about it.
You still have to catch the ball!
Well, you do need to do that.
I get it. Yeah, all the scheme and all that's cool.
But maybe the game plan... I mean, you would know, Trey, you've been in these rooms. I haven't. Maybe the game planning was better for those players. Maybe there was something that they were coaching up to alert them to something that they aren't doing now. Maybe it was just fundamentals and footwork, the routes, how crisp they were. All that stuff comes into play. I mean,
still gotta catch the ball.
I hear you.
Trey, stop speaking so technical, please.
I can't discount the impact Frank Reich had on not only Doug's game plan, but the success of Carson and the wide receiving core. Because Nelson Aguilar was good in 2017.
Very good.
He was a top three or four slot receiver in the NFL.
Yeah.
That was reality.
Pretty damn good.
And now it's all gone. He's worthless.
It's all gone.
So Frank Reich, high.
Still in there.
The dog is still in that spot.
I hope he finds it in another city sometime soon.
I
need him to find it now so he can finish strong.
Yeah. Do you think that's an option?
That's all we got.
Because that's all we need.
I think for the first hour and 41 minutes of the show, we've proven that we need a little more. I think we've dissected it, and I think we've come out with the idea.
We all we need.
Just a little bit more. Just need a little bit more. Howie, we're looking at you. A little bit more. 610-632-0975. 610-632-0975. Coming up, top of the hour, 8 o'clock, we will talk to Adam Schefter of ESPN. He'll give us the latest on everything that's going on in the wide receiver transaction world of the NFL. 610-632-0975. Time of the Fanatic is 7:41.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5, The Fanatic.
Coming up, just 9 minutes, talk to Adam Schefter, get the latest on everything going on at the Eagles acquisitions, crossing their fingers. In all honesty, I want to look at the Eagles' remaining schedule and say, they got this. Things get harder for the Cowboys, things get easier for the Eagles.
Cowboys' schedule's rough.
It is very rough. But the NFL's weird, as an expert once told me.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That's why the Eagles are going to go 7-1 in their final eight games, Mark, because the NFL is weird.
I don't feel like it's ever weird in that way.
In a good way?
I feel, yeah.
It was good. It was weird in 2017.
Okay, I thought it was breaking news.
Yeah, me too. I was like, wait, well, hey.
Yeah, just a computer malfunction.
But I always feel like it was weird in our way against the Packers when Green Bay. It was weird. Things got weird.
Yeah.
You know? You had that Aaron Rodgers character at the goal line that you stopped him twice. Craig James came in, got targeted on the play, and guess what? He broke it up. That was weird. I don't feel like it ever goes 7-1 weird, though. I feel like the Eagles were just crushing life in 2017. I don't know if it was weird. I think it was just a team crushing life in that instance. Okay. But I'm hoping things get weird.
So what?
In 2017, they were crushing life, man.
Okay.
I thought it was weird that the ball went off the knee of the Atlanta defender and then somehow, you know.
Oh, that was lucky. Yeah. That was
weird, yeah.
But, I mean, Nikki Sixx was destined for that greatness, my friend.
After that, yes.
After that particular play. By the way,
some people were surprised Nick Foles got a starting job back. Have you really paid attention to Gardner Minshew? He's not that good.
I hate to break the news to people, but you were all seduced.
Yeah, okay? Because he looks like a porn star. Everybody's like, oh, this guy's great. It's like, nah, he's actually like, not that good.
Because he wears assorted musks.
Yeah. Because he went wide open chest. Yeah. In the pop collar, but the 70s collar.
Everybody was like, ooh, this guy's something. He's got magic.
And the porn stash. That made people go, oh, this guy's great. And I remember even Shefty was telling us, you know, weeks and weeks ago, oh, well, if he's playing like this, how do you give Nick Foles his job back? And I'm like, well, he is a Super Bowl MVP.
Yeah.
And he did get, was it $88 million guaranteed? What's he getting on that?
Yeah, something crazy. I think he got like $67 guaranteed, but like $80 million overall or something.
Speaking of weird, that's pretty weird. Graf in media, what's up, brother?
You know what else is going to be weird?
What's that?
Jordan Matthews has more receptions and more TDs in one game than both Mac Hollins and Nelson Aguilar combined in the past 6 weeks. So there's that.
Yeah, it's that is not far-fetched in the least, considering how bad it's been.
Yeah, that is crazy to me. But at the same time, like, I never really wasn't a fan of Jordan Matthews. So, I mean, if he comes in and But the crazy thing is you're going to come in and wind up being your second option at receiver. Like, oh, God.
That's so pretty dark. Much what's going to happen. I mean, if he's not, maybe, okay, the speed thing could obviously be an issue. He was never a burner of a wide receiver. But he had some drops issues earlier on in his career. He became a very consistent target, though, for Carson Wentz. I love having him back here. I want to see how it works out.
Yeah, I'm more interested than what we have now. But if I had to say most impressive players, I would probably say the running back core for me and Miles Sanders and Gordon Howard.
Okay.
I think they should probably become more of a focal point of our offense for sure because of the receiving situation we have right now. And then the least impressive, I would go with Howie Roseman, but from a player aspect, I think would be Malcolm Smith taking a little bit of a dip in my eyes. And it's really belongs to coverages and allowed for some.
We're losing you, Grav. I'm sorry, man. We had a bad line.
A question.
Oh, I'm sorry, man. Yeah, we were losing him a little bit there. It was breaking up.
Because he'd be in the military, man.
Yeah.
He would understand, like, all right, you know, when you have a leader, how is it when, because I'm sure in anybody that's been in some situations like this, when you have someone that's trying to pull something out of you, and I'm sure you've been on, with him being a military man, you've been through some of this training and stuff, when you have a leader that's trying to pull something out of that person, and that person just
not responding.
Yeah.
Well, in the military, it's a little easier. They just send you home.
Well, yeah, the same thing here.
Yeah, right.
They send you packing.
Well, unfortunately, there's a $9.5 million investment in this one particular soldier, quote unquote. But yeah, I that's a great question to ask. Grab, we got you back later. We'll get you back later. But yeah, I would love to ask that question. And that's really, that's where you find your great leaders is how they find a way to elevate somebody else's game. Whether that is the yelling, cursing, screaming, and somebody's face, or whether that's the pat on the back, hey man, you got it next time.
Mm-hmm.
They've tried both with Nelson Aguilar. Oh, you know, I don't even know if they've tried the yelling and screaming and all that stuff. Maybe they think he's too, I hate to use this word, but maybe they think he's too soft a player right now, or they know they'll lose him. We'll lose we'll even get his plays around the line of scrimmage thrown out if we get in his face and try to motivate him that way.
And so many times you've seen Carson just fall on the sword. and just say, hey, man, you know what? I got to make a better throw. I got to do something this. I got to do that. I have to do this. He's putting it on his shoulders instead of just turning and saying, well, you know what? They have to make a play.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm putting the ball there. They have to make a play.
And what did he say after Alshon's three drops on third down on Sunday? He said, every single time, I just told him we're coming right back to you.
Exactly.
And they did. And there's three drops. And then there was a pretty clutch throw at the end of the game during their game-capping drive at the end where he converted four third downs, or he's 4 for 4 on third down for those 48 yards.
Which is big in another way, too, because mm-hmm. if it is true, and I think we're all leaning towards it is, that Jeffrey is the, you know, the secret voice of the locker room.
Right.
And kind of went after Carson, and for Carson then after three drops to say, yep, I'm just going to keep going back to him because that's how good he is. That's big on Carson.
It absolutely is. Absolutely. Let's get to Ryan in New Jersey. What's up there, Ryan?
Yeah, hi. How you guys doing?
Good, man.
Good, good. So you were talking about, you know, what's the difference between 2017 and 2019? I have to look at the coordinators and assistant coaches. It's easy to see, you know, Frank Reich, okay, he's gone. But I think we should see what happened after that. The Eagles promoted Mike Rowe, who was a fantastic receivers coach, who motivated these players, these receivers, got the best out of them. They promoted them to O coordinator.
Uh-huh.
And we've been missing something there. And you look at last year, they failed to integrate Golden Tate into the offense. You know, you just look how quickly the Giants have been able to do that. They haven't been able to get guys like Arcega Whiteside up and running. I really think there's something missing there in the wide receiver coaching staff.
You're right on. I mean, we've talked about Frank Reich at length. We've talked about what Mike Rowe does exactly here when he's coming in here, not like he's played in the NFL, barely even coached in the NFL, even with wide receivers, been in 5-6 years in the league, and he's supposed to help out a guy that has spent, you know, his career in the NFL in Doug Peterson, and then also help nurture a young quarterback like Carson Wentz, and then also get these wide receivers involved. It seems very far-fetched. Like, he does not seem like he does a good job with this offense.
Yep. And it's like years ago, promoting Juan Castillo to defensive coordinator. These just very curious decisions.
Ooh.
You know, I mean, I'm not comparing them to that degree, but, you know, how about we get some credibility in these coaching positions instead of just promoting these guys.
Ryan, I think
I'm going to leave it alone.
Okay.
He's on a roll.
You're going to leave it alone?
Just going to let it go.
Ryan, I will say this. Juan Castillo, after, you know, between Jim Johnson, Juan Castillo, and Jim Schwartz, you realize that he's like the second best coordinator we've had since Jim Schwartz? Or excuse me, since Jim Johnson? In all seriousness. Because a lot of that was Billy Davis, too. But, like, Juan Castillo put up some of the best numbers since Jim Johnson.
Huh.
I'm just going to take a nap after that.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.